Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says this, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" The title of my sermon tonight is, "Are you a growing Christian or a worldly Christian? Are you a growing Christian or a worldly Christian?" Churches today are filled with worldly Christians. We have Christians that don't want to grow. They just don't want to grow. They don't want to live for the Lord. And instead of living for the Lord, they decide to live for the world. They decide to live for the devil and the flesh. And in tonight's text, we see that happening here in the church of Corinth. If you were to study the city of Corinth, it was wicked. And I've heard many scholars and people that they go deep into that stuff. And they say that Corinth, this city, it was basically, think of Los Angeles, California. Okay, Los Angeles, California, it's wicked. Right now, if you want to become famous, that's where everyone goes, to Los Angeles. And they move to Los Angeles. You have all these, as soon as they turn 18, all these young people, they move to Los Angeles. And I mean, they're going to parties, it's wicked. And everything that you can think of that comes out wicked on the internet, it's literally coming from Los Angeles. Think of a city like Los Angeles. Think of a city like that party city in Nevada, Las Vegas. Okay, wicked. It's horrible. Okay, think of Phoenix, Arizona. I mean, it's wicked here too. And you put those three cities together, and I mean, it was wicked, full of sexual immorality, parties every weekend, drinking, drugs, and the brethren in Corinth were being attacked spiritually, just how we are being attacked spiritually today. I grew up here in Phoenix. I had a lot of party friends. I was never the party type of guy, but I remember my friends every weekend inviting me to go to a party. And I don't like going to parties because I don't like being around where there's a bunch of people. And I always hear those parties, I mean, they were just wicked, drinking, drugs, fornication. And the way the party would end, I don't know why they do that in Phoenix. I don't know what's so cool or so fun about doing this at a party. But the way they will end is they would have a drive-by and they'll just shoot up the party. And I remember one of my friends telling me that they were shooting up a party that he was at. And he jumped in his car and he turned it on and a bullet went flying right next to his head. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. It's wicked. And that's how the city of Corinth was basically. It was just wicked, full of wickedness, sexual immorality, and all that kind of wickedness. But without being said, let's go ahead and jump into our first point for tonight. And my first point is, can God take you serious? Can God take you serious? We see here in verse 1 that the Apostle Paul could not take the people at the church of Corinth seriously. He couldn't take them serious. We see in the first part of verse 1 that the Apostle Paul couldn't speak to these brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's look at verse 1. He says this, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." He couldn't speak to them in a spiritual way. He couldn't speak to them like if they were filled by the Holy Spirit. He couldn't speak to them in a spiritual way. Let me ask you tonight, are you a Christian? And think about this, okay? The Bible tells us to examine ourselves if we truly are in the faith. And I don't want to make anyone doubt their salvation, but that's biblical, to examine yourself. Check yourself if you are truly in the faith. And then let me ask you tonight, are you a Christian that is filled by the Holy Spirit? Are you a Christian that actually reads their Bible, that actually takes time to pray? Maybe you're in here tonight and you say, what is that Holy Spirit? What are you talking about, Carlos? The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. And we come short of God's glory. We can't go into heaven. We can't enter heaven. We can't enter His glory because of our sin. But in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Maybe you're in here tonight and you haven't received that gift of salvation. You haven't received the Holy Spirit. And God wants to give you that gift. And it's up to you if you would like to receive that gift. But like I said, are you a Christian that is filled by the Holy Spirit? And I'm not just talking about, and not just read your Bible, but do you apply what you read? There's a big difference in that. Are you exercising your faith? Are you taking church and the Word of God serious? Are you taking the way you live your life outside of church serious? When you are at work, can your coworkers, the people you're working around, can your coworkers see that there's something different in you? Okay, that there's something different about you. Do your coworkers even know that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? I remember back in Bible college, in Bible college, a lot of us men that were studying there for the ministry, but we work in the same jobs, and everyone there in that city, in Santa Clara, that's where Golden State Baptist College is located. Everyone there, no, they call us Golden State Boys. That's just what they would call us. And they knew that we were in that church and that we were always out every Saturday knocking on doors. And everyone there in that city, they know North Valley Baptist Church. They know on Sunday mornings that 40 buses are going to come out of there and they're going to start picking up kids. And that's a blessing that people know that. Amen. And I mean, I remember there was a young man there. He didn't even want to be there at the college, but his parents forced him to go or something like that. And I mean, his coworker, he never told anybody that he was part of that college. I mean, he didn't tell anybody that he was a Christian. I mean, he was just partying there with everyone else. Eventually, they ended up kicking him out. But do your coworkers even know that you're a Christian? Amen. If you say you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, people ought to see that. And they ought to see something different in you. Or perhaps you have people outside of your church, of the church, confused because you say you go to church on Sundays, you say that you're a Christian, but you're out drinking, you're out smoking, you're out sleeping around, and you're just confusing everyone around you. And the reality is you're just disrespecting the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're just worldly. You don't even try. And that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about here to these people in that church. Isn't that amazing? God knew that this was going to happen at other churches. He put that in the Bible. And that might be for somebody. I'm not judging you. I'm just pointing this out. It's in the Bible. The Lord put it there. And we ought to learn from that. If you say you're a Bible-believing Christian, and you ought to read the Bible. And I mean, sometimes I won't share the verse, but I read a verse a week or two ago, and the Lord convicted me. And it said exactly what I was doing, and I wasn't doing it right, and the Lord convicted me. Okay? If you're getting mad about this, it could be that you don't have the Holy Spirit. You're not saved. You shouldn't be getting mad. You should be getting convicted. You should feel something inside, and that should be the Holy Spirit tugging on you. But let's keep on going. We see in the second part of verse 1 that he had to speak to them in a carnal way, in a worldly way. Okay, let's read that. He says here in the beginning, And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He says, but as unto carnal. He had to speak to them in a worldly way. okay? And in a way like if we were still babies in Christ, okay? God doesn't want us to just stay as little babies in Christ. He wants us to grow spiritually. And let me ask you tonight, are you growing spiritually? Do you see a difference in your life? And let me ask you this. When are you going to start taking the Lord serious? When are you going to start taking Him serious? Is it going to be when you go through a divorce? Is it going to be until you're in the hospital dying from drugs? Or you're in the hospital because of alcohol? Or you're in the hospital because of something foolish you did that's against the Lord? And maybe some of you need to change your attitude towards this church. Your attitude as well. And that's a big one, actually. And a lot of preachers don't preach on that. But your attitude, what about your attitude? Maybe it's not drugs. Maybe it's not alcohol or some other type of sin. But it could be your attitude. Maybe you need to change your attitude towards this church. Let me tell you something, friend. If you're in this church, it's because God put you here. And I mean, it's God that adds people to the church. He's the one that takes away. And you could say, hey, I want to be in this church or in that church. But if you're in this church, God put you in here. And maybe He put you in here so you could learn a lesson. And once you've learned it and applied the lesson, you'll be ready to move to a church where your heart desires to be. And right now, I'm dealing that with somebody here in our church. A young man. I'm not going to go too much into a young man. He's telling me, well, I don't want to go there right now. Because you guys don't have enough teenagers. And so right now he wants to go to another church. And I don't tell him anything. He knows that this is his church. And the Lord's gonna have to chasten him. And the Lord put him in this church. And you know what, folks? Here in Arizona, for some reason, I was laughing about this with my mom a few days ago. There's so many Baptist churches here. If you have a problem here, it's so easy for you to move to Maranatha Baptist Church, or to First Baptist Bible Church, or to a Beacon Baptist Church, or to the Evangelical Baptist Church, or I don't even know what other church I'm missing. It's so easy for you to bounce around, but God doesn't want us to be church hoppers. God wants you to have a good attitude, and if God has put you in this church, you need to work on your attitude. Let's go to point number two. When will you start to grow up? When will you start to grow up? Let's look at verse 2. He says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. God wants to use you in a great way. And God wants to bless you in a great way. But He can't do that yet because He can't take you serious. You still act like a baby. And we see here in verse 2 that they were fed with milk and not with meat. Because they weren't able to handle the meat. God wants to bless you. And He wants to use you in a better way. And sometimes He can't do that. He has to hold blessings from us. Okay? Or He can't use us in a specific way because of our own flesh. Because of how we act. And we don't grow up and we stay like babies. Let me ask you this. When are you going to start taking the Lord serious? And a lot of you guys, and I've seen it, and you've shared with me some of your struggles, some of your problems. And God lets that happen because that's how you grow, from going through struggles and problems. And God will keep you there until you learn how to overcome that, how to learn from that problem or that struggle. He'll keep you there, but God wants to use you. He wants to bless you, and if you decide to stay there, when is it going to be that you start taking God serious? Okay, is it going to, like I said before, is it going to be until when you go through a divorce, when you're in the hospital or something like that? The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that the Lord chastens those that He loves. He chastens those that He loves. I'm not going to share with you, but I've been in a situation like that where the Lord has chastened me. And let me tell you, folks, that's something you don't want to play with. You don't want to play with God. And He knows how to chasten. He really does. And like I said, I'm not going to share the things I've done, but the Lord's corrected me. And you can be as mad as you want. You could stay mad at the Lord for months, probably even years, and you could get bitter. But the reality is that God lets bad things happen in our lives so that we can learn. He chastens those that He loves. Maybe some of you, like I said, you need to change your attitude towards this church. And God wants to work in your attitude. Maybe it's sin in your life. There's sin in your life, something you're struggling with. God wants to help you in that as well. He wants to help you in that. And that won't happen here. Sorry, I got lost here in my notes. That won't happen until we learn to grow. We need to learn to grow. And I mean, there's just... It's like you can't stay a baby your whole life. You need to grow. If you've been here, you say 10 years already, you've been saved, baptized, 10 years, you ought to know a little bit more Bible. You probably ought to be in a position where you're sharing the gospel regularly. That's amen. And I mean, you ought to grow. We can't just stay babies our whole lives. And I mean, it's very easy to say, man, I struggle with sin. We all struggle with sin. We all struggle. And you're going to be fighting the flesh for the rest of your life. And I mean, you got to learn to grow. And like I said, sometimes it'll hurt. I remember when I was a young man, I was about, I think I was 14 years old. And I made my first Facebook. And I was with my cousins. They were just messing around on the laptop. And I made my first Facebook. And I mean, I was just using the Facebook for bad stuff. And I was talking to girls. And I remember Pastor Steve would always bring in this crazy preacher. I mean, he was crazy. I mean, he would almost get on top of the pulpit. He would yell. I mean, spit was flying. I mean, he was just direct and blunt. And I remember he would always say this every year when Pastor Steve invited him over to preach for a conference. And he would always say this, and I didn't like him because of it. He would always say, and some of you teenagers that are hiding stuff on your phone, and some of you parents, you need to take your parents, your sons, your daughters' Facebook and social media, and you ought to have the password for it, and you ought to check it. And my mom, she would listen to that. And my mom would take it serious. I mean, she would take it serious. And I remember after the service was over, and I would jump in the car, and I was waiting in there because I know my mom, you know, Mexican moms, Mexican ladies can get a little wild sometimes, especially something with that. And I mean, she got in the car, and she just started going off of me. She said, right now, when we get to the house, you're going to give me the password to all your phone, your Facebook, everything you got. And I would get so mad. And on the way back home, I started deleting all the evil, wicked, the messages. I started deleting them because I know she was serious. And my dad had to calm her down, but she would do it. And I mean, that was me being a baby in Christ. And the sad part is there's a lot of Christians, they stay in a situation like that, even when they've been saved for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. Look, friend, I know sin is sin. I know you're battling the flesh. I know you got problems. But welcome to the club, because we're all in that club. And I mean, you're going to have to learn to fight it. You're a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have to grow up. You have to take some time to read your Bible. You need to take some time to pray. Maybe even journal, write down some words, and just meditate on the Word of God. And meditation, that's so important, meditating the Word of God, not even reading much scripture, but just grabbing a verse and just sitting there and meditate on it. Actually think about it. Think deeply about it. And nowadays, people can't do that no more because the phones are always on phones. Everything's just fast, and they want to go on social media. But you need to take some time aside and take your walk with the Lord serious. Let's go to point number three for tonight, and I'll finish with this. Point number three is, Your worldliness has caused you problems. Your worldliness has caused you problems. Let's look at verse 3. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? We see here in the beginning of verse 3, the Apostle Paul calls the brethren in the church of Corinth carnal. He calls them carnal. He tells them straight up, you're worldly. That's what carnal basically means. You're just worldly. You're in the flesh, just straight up worldly. And a lot of Christians, perhaps in here tonight, you're worldly. You're just carnal. You're fleshly. You're worldly. And if you're worldly, you need to get that right. There's a big, and I've always said this, and I'm a big believer of this. There's a big difference when you're struggling with sin and you want to get it right, and you're in a situation where you're battling addiction or something like that. You know it's wrong, but I mean you're working at it. You're reading your Bible, whether you sin or not. I mean, you still read your Bible, you pray, you go to church. And then there's people that's somebody that's struggling, okay? That's called sanctification, all right? That's biblical. That's Bible, okay? You go through a process of sanctification where God needs to clean you out, okay? But then there's a Christian, you're just carnal, you're worldly. I mean, you show up Sundays, you're here Sundays, amen for that. You're here Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights. But that's the only time you touch the Bible. That's the only time you actually pray. You actually bow down your head and pray. Okay? That's worldly, friend. That's carnal. You're not even trying. And you need to know the difference, the two differences in that. But our worldliness, our flesh, it's caused problems. We see here, if you keep reading in verse 3, he starts to call out problems in the church because of their worldliness. There was people among them that were envying one another. The Apostle Paul says it right there. There is among you envying, okay? Envying one another, which just means that they were jealous, okay? That happens, and I mean, that probably, I won't say it, but they're jealous, okay? There's people in the church, they're jealous. And others in the church, the Bible says that they were causing strife. He calls it out right there, strife. They were bringing in conflict and disagreement in the church. That happens in the church, folks. I've seen that happen in so many churches. And some were bringing in divisions. They were separating the church because of their flesh, because of their worldliness. And we don't want to be a church like that, amen? We don't want to be a church that's causing strife and disagreement and divisions. We want to be a good church that honors and glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're in here tonight, and if you're living a worldly lifestyle, I don't know who you are. Don't think I'm targeting you. I don't want to target you. I don't want to know what you do in your life. I got my own life to worry about. But if you're in here tonight and you're living a worldly lifestyle, you still act like a babe in Christ, like the brethren in Corinth. You let your nasty attitude get in the way here at church. If you're like that in here tonight, you need to make a change. And you need to make a change in regards to that tonight. And the Lord wants to work in your heart. He wants to speak to you. I'll finish with this. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. I'll finish with this. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll read verses 25 through 27. The Bible says this, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Look at verse 27. This is an important verse right here. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. We are the church, friend. Let's keep reading. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. We see here in verse 27, we just read it, that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to present himself a glorious church. A glorious church. A church with no dirty spots. A church with no wrinkles in it or anything like that. He wants a church to be holy and without blemish. That's what the Bible says. And don't be that Christian. Don't be that church member in the church that puts dirty spots in our church, that puts wrinkles in it. Don't let your sin get in the way of this church. And maybe nobody in this church knows about your sin, but the Lord Jesus Christ does. And he sees that dirty spot in the church. And he doesn't want his bride. We're the bride of Christ. He doesn't want it dirty with wrinkle or with the dirty spot on it. He's watching that. And like I said, maybe we don't know your lifestyle, how you live outside of church, but the Lord Jesus Christ does, and he can see that dirty spot. And that's what he was talking about right here. He can see that dirty spot right there. And it's time you take your Bible reading serious and that you start to grow for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes.